ability.
Okay, good. And so just to clarify, you don't want us to do the strengths and weaknesses in relation to the sub-criteria at this point. It's really just the scoring on the pieces.
This is Reva. I'm trying to capture all of the things you're saying, and I'm assuming those strengths and weaknesses are embedded there. So if there's anything additional you want to add, please do so.
I have no other additional strengths and weaknesses than those things that we've talked about already, but open it up to anyone else who might.
Okay, Brian. I think the intent is to bring out those strengths and weaknesses as we go through each of these points. I think it just keeps us more focused.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to scientific acceptability. Is the measure precisely specified? I think it is. To me, I would give this complete in that they really do precisely specify it. It's based on certain codes, and this is stuff that you would capture from claims. The details, let me see, is this a separate the numerator statement? Okay. So it's one of these is the issue of simply scoring, is it precisely specified? And so it's complete in that they're there. However, what's not captured in that score, and what I think we should devote a little bit of time to now, is discussing the specifics of the numerator and the denominator. And so here I have a concern, and I guess I'd talk about weakness. In the numerator detail, to score a yes for a complication for this measure, it appears that in a 180-day period following surgery, bariatric surgery, if you had a readmission to a hospital with any diagnosis, that's one of the ways you would enter in the numerator. Other ways would be to have a gastrointestinal perforation code and other things. Let's see, one more following services. Sorry. You would have to have a service such as an emergency room visit, an outpatient surgery, or a confinement or admission in addition to a gastrointestinal perforation, a wound infection, a dehiscence, a pulmonary embolism, or bacterial pneumonia, or an anastomotic leak, or a DVT. And then there's one specific to get you in would simply be a procedure for a wound dehiscence. And then the fourth criteria would be a stenosis or obstruction code. And on the same day that you had that, one of this long list, such as pneumonia with Klebsiella, or pneumonia from an anaerobe, or a DVT, or an upper GI, an endoscopy with a balloon dilation. And so that you can see that list is very a long list. I won't go through it. So one of my concerns, unless I'm reading this wrong, is you have someone who is 179 days out from bariatric surgery who is admitted to the hospital with a DVT, and they would count as a complication of the bariatric surgery. And that's just one example, but I'm not 100% sure that's specific to the surgery.
So, Brian, from the standpoint of the specificity that your suggestion is that this is not would not be complete; it would be more of a partial.
Well, I guess it's a question of specificity or sensitivity. I mean, they are very specific with the measures, but the question is it specific to finding important clinical information? It's not clear to me what NQF-1 scored. So the measure itself is very precisely defined, but what they're going to capture, I'm not sure is as specific as they want.
Reva,
basically, we'd like both elements of it. You know, both are the specifications, you know, appropriately defined for implementation, but then are the specification inclusions appropriate, or are there issues around them?
Right. So, I mean, I think there are issues, and so if that's part of it, then I would retract the score of complete. The question then is it going to be partial or minimal? And I think this is where the meat of our discussion today may fall, because again, it's a very broad definition. And I think when we do the 30-day complication rate with Dick to follow, I have much less qualms about being admitted to the hospital or showing up in an emergency room with bacterial pneumonia in 30 days after an operation. But at 180 days, I'm a little concerned. And actually, I think not being a surgeon, I'd actually like to hear from Dr. Riccardi in terms of I think I'd feel a lot better if this is just a very common time frame that surgeons use or are typically using for quality assurance, or how you feel as a surgeon to hear this numerator.
This is Rocco Ricciardi speaking. I have to say that most of the patients I operate on who are obese, they only lose about 5 pounds of colon. So I haven't done any gastric bypass surgery in a very long time. But from a perspective of time frame, 180 days, I'm not certain as to why that's important in gastric bypass surgery. It's not important in colorectal surgery, I can tell you that.
Brian, this is Dave. I'm puzzled by the list of diagnoses from the standpoint of standard surgical complications and inclusion of any type of pneumonia, pneumococcal pneumonia or influenza, things that may even have all kinds of stratification biases, if they got vaccinated or not, what their primary doctor did, and how these are attributable to a surgery. I think you had raised the issue about somebody that has a DVT 179 days late, and maybe because they flew across country, was that related to their surgery? There were a couple things that are missing on here, as well as potentially GI bleeding issues that I thought were probably sizable oversights from not including as far as some of the complications. So I think the list is overcomplete in some sense and undercomplete in others.
This is Stacy. If you want, I'm from Ingenix. I can give you a slight introduction to how we selected this group of conditions.
I'm sure that'd be helpful.
Okay. So what we had done was actually looked very heavily at the list that was presented in the article published May 2009 in the Medical Care Journal by Echinosa et al. And this was actually the study that's alluded to in the application, where they did look at both 30-day and 180-day complication rates. And because this was really the only gold standard article out there looking at 180-day complications, and because we really feel like this is an area that is really missing clear identification of the complications that might occur, the prevalence, and maybe even the opportunities for improvement, we really wanted to base our list off that Echinosa study as closely as we could. So that was the main source. Now, once we took that main source, and they did include DVTs and pneumonias and some of these other things that have been mentioned here, once we took that main list, we then tried to look at particularly the conditions that were higher prevalence. And, of course, we really wanted to focus on measures that we felt really comfortable we could capture with claims data. We thought there may be an opportunity for some kind of preventable intervention in the future. So that was the main list, but it's certainly your points are well taken, and we could certainly modify that list based on the panel feedback.
Yeah, that's helpful. Just a question for you, because you cite 180-day complication rate. Did they compare that with a disease prevalence in a standard population that was comparable?
That's a great question. They did not do that in their article.
Okay, so that would be my point is that if you took an incidence statistic across a comparable population of obese patients and looked at DVTs, pneumonias, bacterial pneumonias, you'd have to. That would be the breakpoint for my validation of this over 180 days, unless you knew what the index prevalence or incidence was against this comparable population without an intervention.
Yeah, and this is Dick Johannes. At some level, the 180 days, the idea of looking at all-cause readmission rates and then attributing them back to some event, There's always a question about how long should that be. Should it be 30? Should it be 60? Should it be 180? Should it be 365? As long as it is, as long as you have some comparator to compare it against, then all-cause readmission rates, if some event happens and you see differences, at least point you in, begin to point you in some directions. Here, I think the real issue is, and that's getting back to my risk adjustment issue in its absence, is you'd like to have some sense of what the all-cause readmission rate for this population would be in the absence of surgery so that you could understand what the number was when you saw it. I actually rather like readmission rates as a potential outcome variable, and you can't look at them, I don't think, in short term. But it would be nice to have some preliminary data on similar sorts of patients to have a sense of, you know, what does the readmission rate, in fact, mean?
Okay, I think that we're on the same page with those last two comments. But Brian, as far as specificity, then can you make a recommendation to the TAP as far as how you'd score this?
You know, there's I don't know how big a gap there is between partial and minimal, and I don't want it to sound sort of pejorative. I mean, given the issues we've talked about, I would lean towards minimal only because of the large variation in how you're going to get any accuracy from this at 180 days, but I'm very open to people swaying me to discuss it as partial.
Other comments?
Can I comment? This is Rocco Ricciardi again. Comment on the list that they have, and the Ingenix person probably could do a better job than I. We did a little bit of work with these ICD-9 codes with respect to complications after surgery. I think they're just trying to be inclusive. When you get into pneumonia due to Streptococcus group A versus B, you wonder how accurate the coders are in identifying that. But I think what they're trying to do is be as inclusive as possible to capture as many of these potential complications as possible.
This is Dave again. I just would agree with that as their intent. The gap and the reason that I think Brian's comment about minimal, which I would support, is the lack of a standard comparative incidence in the same population over 180 days. So I'm just trying to wrestle with what would we do with that information against a standardized incidence in a comparable population before we attribute it back to the surgery, where these may be much more applicable. It's certainly 30 days, but the extrapolation to 180 days is my challenge. Other comments, and the recommendation so far is for Brian's recommendation is minimal. Okay, Brian. I think nothing from a negative from the standpoint of Ingenix. I know you're on the phone, so we're just trying to help. The idea here is next about reliability, and I think we're probably going to say this is going to be consistent on reliability, Brian. But maybe walk us through reliability validated.
Sure. I mean, I think one of the strengths of Ingenix when they do this is they have this very large database that they use. And I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think the text that you see in this section is sort of a cut and paste that gets used any time that they put forth a measure. So they talk about, and I won't go into the detail, but they talk about the sort of rigorous methods that are used to ensure that a measure appears reliable and then also it appears valid. And I think that's very complete that they can do this. We have to give just a reliability score, and they do provide this information. The only reason I would give it a partial and a complete is because they have they used a kind of a subset for testing reliability for this, although it was still large, but they have a much larger 12 million member benchmark, and we don't have those results for that set to see how this would be tested. So again, my recommendation is partial for reliability testing.
Okay, open for discussion. Okay. Brian, I think you've convinced us partial is appropriate. How about validity? Okay.
I don't mean to be a bully, you guys. Speak up. So we're going to talk about...
You're from Boston. If you were from Chicago, we'd believe that.
That's true. Well, and actually, if you saw my imposing 5'5" frame, I'm sure people would be speaking up more. So for validity testing, again, they do, I think, an admirable job of doing chart review to see that when they check these, it's valid. It's a small number. They looked at 100 members from two clinics that were reviewed, and this was done for, I think it looks like, for several measures. They say 726 measures evaluated at once, which again shows you just that these folks really can crank out the measures. And they found a very small error rate, however, of about 5%. However, I will caution that the validity I'm reading here, and maybe the gentleman on from Ingenix could comment, it doesn't clear that this validation that's described is specific for this particular measure. It looked more like how good a job Ingenix does validating their measures in general.
Brian, this is Kay Schwebke. That's an excellent summary. That's true that this validation study was really a look at how good our claims data with identifying what we think is happening when you do a chart review. So although this specific measure wasn't looked at, this validity summary does give you an idea of the performance of claims data in general.
Right. So so with this, I would score minimal because of the concerns raised earlier in terms of the validity of the measure, purely based on the codes chosen to look at and the lack of certain codes and the lack of stratifying for certain potential risks. And so I think it's a minimal validity for this particular measure. So I would give it a score of M.
Okay. Open for discussion.
this is John again. I think, again, in general, we're struggling with the fact that this is an important measure at 180 day because I think all of us would agree that there are clear complications that occur late as opposed to 30 day. And a lot of that has to do with the physiology of obesity and weight loss. The problem is this going to be really feasible and reliable when it's washed out? And I think that's where we're struggling. So, in general, I would really urge that this measure be refined because it's an important question. But I do agree with Brian in terms of the stratification and issues around that.
Yeah, I think we're struggling with measures? Is this measure applicable and granular to the surgery relative to just a natural progression of diseases in a population that's defined at risk? And I also don't see GI bleeding intervention as a which that we all deal with a lot as one of the captures here. And hernia is the other one that seems to be lacking when we're starting to look at at complications. So, Brian, I think your recommendation is for minimal. If we have any other comments, we can.
Some of the nutritional issues as well, specific nutritional issues would be very difficult to capture that we see.
But probably not so much nutritional or the elemental things are a little bit more delayed than 180 days. Do you think, or the context of more extended 1 year and longer follow-up, I think that's where these things would really become?
Maybe. Some of the specific vitamin nutrition deficiencies, things like that, can show up relatively soon. But again, as you pointed out, David, this is claims-based data, and there's some challenges around that. It lacks the clinical data, and so I think this would be a really robust topic for a combination claims-based and clinical registry. But the challenge here is what we have before us.
Okay, any other comments on validity? Brian, I think we accept your score as minimal. How about exclusions?
So there really are no exclusions, so I think you'd have to score it as a non-applicable.
This is Reva. The question I would ask, do you think that's appropriate? that there are no exclusions?
I don't mind there being no exclusions. I think it's more the risk adjustment that we're having trouble with. I think if you risk adjust the patients, then taking anyone who is deemed, because they're already deemed suitable for surgery. So I think the time for exclusion probably occurs when the decision is made whether to take them to the operating room or not. There may be others who have an opinion on this, though.
I would see it as a relatively pure population for the question asked. I mean, these are patients accepted, as you said, Brian, accepted for a specific intervention. And I think it's probably fine not to have exclusions from this standpoint.
My only question there is if they had a second operation or some other intervention that came within that 180 days,
that
put them at a subject risk for one of these diagnoses, and that would be the reason I would think the exclusion should have some qualification. I'm not really comfortable with that.
So what you're, Dave, this is Brian. So Dave, what I'm hearing is that maybe one of the ways around the problem of the very broad net that's cast with the numerators is if you could then exclude from that from the denominators those whose readmission was due to some reason that was clearly not related to the surgery?
Yes. We had a secondary intervention. Say they had to have their bariatric surgery for one reason, and then they had a second operation that had nothing to do with their bariatric surgery, and it put them at another risk. So now you've got another hospitalization, exposures, and things that may be potentially unrelated. So I'm not sure how the claims-based data would exclude those people that would commingle risks.
I guess it comes down to how, this is Brian, I guess it comes down to how you would just craft the numerator and denominator, because you could also say return to operating room and then have certain conditions met that way in the numerator without needing it as an exclusion. You could probably craft the measure multiple ways, and one way would be to use exclusion, and others would be to have a more focused inclusion criteria. And I'm not sure I could comment on the proper way.
Yeah, this is Kay Schwebke. It actually would be technically very feasible to do that. All you would need to do is identify individuals that had additional surgery after some period of time from the initial bariatric surgery. Of course, you know, what you're weighing then is, are you potentially losing people that might have had surgery due to a complication from the bariatric surgery? You'd have to make the assumption that you're willing to lose that. But technically, that would be actually pretty easy to do.
This is Brian. So Dave, we kind of look to you as our leader, is whether this is a score of N for none, there's nothing given about exclusion, or not applicable.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair to because a no sounds like a very negative thing on it, where NA sounds like it's just not applicable, and I don't want it to carry the wrong connotation.
Well, I think you could say no with a disclosure, because I think not applicable means we don't think it matters. From the conversations we're at least raising that there may be some commingling of risks if we don't have some exclusions.
Yeah. This is Reva. I would put it to you this way. If you were all in absolute agreement that no exclusions are appropriate, then I would say that it should be rated as completely meets the criteria because they've been considered and they've done the right thing around exclusions. The fact that you don't feel 100% in that way, it's somewhere along it, but I heard some support for it being a fairly selected population, so not applicable. I don't think it would be appropriate, but one of the others is probably where you need to be.
Yeah, this is probably a partial.
Okay.
Hey.
Brian, we accept partial. You're the champion of this particular. Is that consensus across the group?
I suppose it's. This is kind of fun. This one's a little funny to me, just because of where we're going. It seems more of a matter of opinion that some people think that there should be exclusion, some people think there shouldn't. And so I think, and then there's nothing listed here. It's where it's just the developer says not applicable. So whether it's partial or minimal, to me it's minimal because there's nothing reported. We think that some people think that there should be an issue and some people think there shouldn't. To me, it's just semantics, and I don't quite get this one.
There's no need to worry too much over that because the report out will have all the details of your thinking. So I can report it out as both or a slash between the two.
Okay. I'm happy with the slash. I always like compromise.
Okay. Any other comments on exclusions? Okay, Brian, how about risk adjustment?
Okay, so risk adjustment, I think we really agree that there should be risk adjustment for this to be an a really useful measure and meaningful. So here I would say that there's, I guess here it's an and because it's not there, but that we think it should be there. Am I interpreting that score correctly?
Correct.
Okay,
discussions on risk adjustment. I think we're very much applicable to the conversation we just had about exclusions. I think we're in agreement, Brian, that clearly there needs to be risk adjustment. Stratification bias, I think, is a risk here in particular for referral centers.
Right. So the next section, identification of meaningful differences in performance, I think this also is an because to me it's part of risk adjustment also that you have to look at reasons why there might be certain differences and those should be captured as well.
Okay, open for discussion. Brian, I notice you're changing your scores as you go along, so you're convincing yourself that as we're going through this here, so I'm keeping track of your report card.
Oh, from what I scored the other day?
Yeah.
Well, I think that was before Riva did such an incredible job at really clarifying how we're supposed to be going through this.
There you go. Good. Any comments about meaningful differences? With the proposal is this would be an N. Okay, Brian, comparability?
Comparability of multiple data sources, I think you have to I'm not 100%, I'll be honest, sure what this means. I think it means, I'll tell you what I think it means, and then someone could correct me, that it means that regardless of where you're getting the numerator and denominator codes, they're going to be the same codes and they'll be captured in the same way. Is that what this means?
Yes, Brian, for this measure, it probably isn't an applicable criteria simply because we know it's all based on claims data, but we certainly have seen measures that are not exclusively based on claims data, and the data may stream from clinical records, registries, or claims, and the question is, would those all generate comparable results? I'm not sure it's applicable in this particular case.
Yeah. So I like NA.
Great. Okay. Yep. Agreement.
Any
other comments?
Sorry.
Okay, Brian. How about disparities?
There's really no detection of disparities that's in this. And maybe Riva, you could clarify also here. The intent of the disparities, because I may be thinking of disparities in the wrong way. Could you clarify that for me?
Sure. Some measures are going to be more appropriate to stratify by various patient populations because there are known disparities in terms of patient outcomes. And this is where your expertise in the field is particularly important. Are there disparities among certain subpopulations that would be important to identify, and does the measure do that to help us address those?
So I think that there are important disparities in the realm of bariatric surgery. There's variation in with ethnicity as well as age in terms of comorbidities such as diabetes. There's differences in availability of resources in the social environment in terms of the ability to come back for appointments and whatnot. I speak just from practicing at Boston Medical Center, which has a very high patient population with limited resources, and they still undergo bariatric surgery, but I think they have a harder time getting back for all of the appointments and things like that that might help monitor and prevent. So I think it's very important to capture, and it's just not addressed here, so I would give it a no.
This is John. I think it's I agree completely with that. I think it's very important to capture because access to bariatric surgery is obviously quite different, and I think that would be important information.
Brian, this is Dave. One of the points that I raised earlier was, again, how these are captured, and I recognize they're claims-based, but some of the access leads itself also is how their standardized follow-ups are. Are there standardized follow-up intervals, and are there patient reports that may not be captured in the claims database? If somebody's coming back monthly or weekly for a follow-up, they're much more likely to have some type of interaction that or a question that leads to a report of a complication, as opposed to somebody that's maybe lost to follow-up in that 180 days or not as rigorously followed up. So I wrestled with that as far as disparities across different healthcare systems, how they were standardized in follow-up, and reports are going to really vary based on the exposure to the healthcare provider and what questions are being asked.
So you would concur with the not at all score?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was just noise for the comment of kind of gaps in the knowledge there. But other comments, Karen or Rocco?
No.
Nope. Okay, Brian. How about so we have a no for that? How about usability?
This is not currently in use. It's still undergoing testing. As I said, some of the reliability stuff will be available in June of this year. Was it meaningful, understandable? Is it useful information? I think it's. I would give this partial. I think it is meaningful. I think people recognize the concept of a complication rate. I think people would want to look at different centers and see what their rates were. I don't know that it's not complete, only because it's not been tested and used and showed that it is fully usable, and also because of some of the concerns that we've raised already about its specificity.
Okay, so recommendation for partial discussion?
I think this will be released to various health plans and be available as a potential measure, whether it's NQF endorsed or not. So I think we're going to find a lot more data and a lot more accuracy down the road once it's released and tested.
Thanks, John. Any other comments? Okay, Brian, you have partial for usability distinctive. How about harmonization?
So harmonization, I don't believe that there are any other measures looking at this.
Correct.
So it would be not applicable.
Correct.
And distinctive or additive value, the next section. Again, it is distinctive. There's nothing else out there targeting this population. So I would give it a partial because it's distinctive. The only reason not complete, really because of the issues we've already raised.
Okay, discussion on added value. Okay, Brian, usability is complete, and how about feasibility?
So data generated as a byproduct of care process, it's claims-based. It's data coding that's going to be there. I think it's I would let's. How about I start the bidding at complete, and say.
I would agree. I think the measure as written can be done. I mean, Ingenix has a long history of being able to do this.
Any other comments? Okay, Brian, you win. Bidding closed. How about electronic?
Electronic sources is the same. It's complete. This would all be coming from an electronic source.
Any other comments on that? That's pretty much a no-brainer. Nothing personal, Brian. We know that you're a smart guy, but we figured that one out.
Exclusions. There are, we've talked about, there are, as it stands, there's no exclusions. I think the concern about having no exclusions is addressed in an earlier score. Here it's simply the feasibility, so it would be complete as written.
This is Rocco Ricciardi. With respect to feasibility and talking about the data generated by NGINX, am I correct, and maybe the NGINX person can comment, is that their product is only for patients under, they only have patients under the age of 65. It's not really all pair?
That's a great question. We do have data for members over the age of 65. It's just that it's a small percentage of the of that population.
Okay,
so typically we don't, although we do have some of those members in this large 15 million member database, we don't really tell that because we recognize it's actually a relatively small percentage of that population 65 and older.
Okay.
Sorry, this is Karen Hall. I'm not sure how many older patients would undergo bariatric surgery. I guess the geriatric definition is 65 or older. And so if in your experience there are people who are of that age, around 65 to 70, then this would be probably of interest to Medicare. I suspect it's a very small group.
We can make that as a comment, Karen. The president has written exclusions as you'd accept as complete, or you want to make this partial?
This is Reva. Question. I mean, the exclusions, Medicare patient population is not excluded from the measure. It's simply that NGINX experience with that population is very limited. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be used in older populations. Is that correct?
That's correct.
This is Karen. Then I would say complete.
Okay. Brian, I think we have consensus on exclusions then.
Okay.
How about inaccuracies and errors?
Yeah, inaccuracy. So I think this I would have to give it as minimal or minimally. I think we've raised a lot of issues about inaccuracies and errors, partly because of why someone might get admitted, and it may have nothing to do with it. Also, in terms of unintended consequences, public reporting showing a center because of the high complication rate, but then capturing 180-day that may have a very high rate but may not really be adjusted appropriately for the patients being looked at, might scare people away from undergoing bariatric surgery, say, oh my God, even at 180 days, there's still this 20% complication rate, when that may not be accurate. And so I would worry about an unintended consequence. So hence the score of minimally.
Other comments?
I tried to make sure that those earlier comments about adding hernias and GI bleeding codes into the numerator get into this section as well. I could help the developers. Yeah.
It's only occasional that we see GI bleeding in it, and these patients have post-bariatric surgery. The ulcers are that clearly I think is an oversight. And hernia is probably one of the most common complications of any abdominal surgery.
Yep, and you'd pick that up in the same way you'd pick up the broad, you put throughout the broad lasso, same way you did for pneumonia, you'd capture it.
Okay, so we have a consensus on minimal, is that correct? Okay, Brian, home stretch, last one, implementation.
Here it seems that it was tested a lot more in the 30-day population, but for 180-day, it really appears minimally tested in terms of implementation and strategy.
So you would say minimal or partial?
I would say minimal.
Minimal, okay. Open any comments here? Okay, Brian, fantastic job. Thanks for leading off and doing such a great job. Everybody else is going to have to do the same.
This is Reva. Just to, it's the first one always takes the longest, but I will just draw your attention to time, and
yeah.
Let's think about ways where we can be sure we get the work done we need to this morning as we go forward. I'm wondering if the next measure, which is Dr. Johanna's measure, the same measure, only 30 days, as opposed to having the same conversation again, would it be possible to have you point out where you think there are differences in the ratings for this measure compared to the other? Or are they identical, or how do they relate to one another?
They're very similar. I actually carefully looked through the code list. The code list is very, very, very similar, and the real distinction here is that by looking at 30-day outcomes, the readmission and postoperative procedure groups are essentially taken out. The services, the perforation set are just gone, and with that exception, it's very much the same proposal. And in fact, many of the sections, I mean, the validation section, Brian already alluded to that, is described identically.
Dick, the code of the list of codes that we dismissed, as far as some of these may not be applicable, as far as the pneumonia codes, though, would come back in on the 30-day side. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. I think they're fine. I don't have a problem with them.
Okay, so maybe if we could go through, if you went through Brian's recommendations here, we can just run down real quickly then and tell us on the 30-day side, is there anything from importance to measure and report? We had for impact, we had partial gaps for opportunity for improvement, essentially partial for all the importance to measure and report. Would you change any of that for 30 days?
Yes, I think that I did. I thought that the when I'd marked my own, and I apologize for not setting it in electronically, the 1C, outcome evidence to support the focus, I actually gave that a C because I thought the existing literature suggests that there at least there is an opportunity here, whether it was fine. Completely specified, I think we gave it a C, I would do that as well, given its existing definition. Exclusions, there were none, and we'll come back to that near the end. the reliability testing for this, they is very similar, and again, I would give that to a partial.
Dick, maybe just interrupt you so we can kind of keep everybody that's keeping records here as well.
Sure.
Let's just take it by the bullet points. So importance to measure and report, your recommendations for impact, opportunities for improvement, outcomes, would it be the same as far as partial across those?
Yes.
That was the score. Okay.
Yeah.
Any discussion on that?
On all three partial?
No. I would have said I actually think I commented – on one, let me just look back. I was going too fast. Now I've got to come back to where I was. On 1C, which is outcome evidence to support measure focus. I actually gave that a C.
Okay, let's have some discussion around that point. Dick, your comment here is more because the codes were a little bit more reflective of or are more reflective of the 30-day complication attributable to surgery.
Correct, and there is some literature out there to suggest that this actually could provide evidence to support the focus of the measure.
the only exception I would have on that is that some of the codes listed are not all inclusive. We talked about, in particular, GI bleeding as a major complication, and that would have been just the reason I would not say complete. It's maybe that the relation isn't fully capture all the potential adverse outcomes.
Well, Reba, you got to help me. Here's where I had trouble when I was in some level with scoring this, because at this level I was trying to ask the question: does this meet the NP? Does this meet the national priority concepts within NQF? And in other words, is there a rationale in existing data to support a measure along this line as a focus?
I would say that's a good approach and good way to think about it. Yeah.
Then I actually think 1C is actually better than partial. I think it's probably a. I would argue that it's a C. But I mean that's splitting hairs.
I think the discussion around the codes are more down into the second section.
That's correct. I have all sorts of it. The issues still persist.
Okay. So any other discussion? I think you swayed us on the. On the complete. So, further discussion on that. Okay, Dick. How about scientific acceptability?
Yeah.
Maybe walk us through one by one on the A through H.
Yeah. I'm going to give a P. I think largely because there's little experience and it's early. I have a hard time giving it going all the way to a C. I'd go with a P on this.
That's the specifications?
Pardon me?
That's the spec?
Yeah.
Okay.
And precise in terms of the precisely specified?
Yeah.
No, I think we gave the first one a C. I'm sorry.
We gave it a minimum.
What did we give it? In 2A, we gave it a minimum. I'd give it at least, yeah. And that was because we had issues with exclusions and numerator. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I can live with that.
Okay. Discussion on. So you're proposing minimum.
Yeah, that's fine. I can go with it. It's very similar to the first one. They shouldn't be much different.
Okay. With the exception of the time frame. Again, I think we've pointed out that whatever happens 30 days post this type of surgery is likely related.
So would you like to have that more...
I guess I'd push that up a little bit.
So at least up to an M? I mean a P?
P, right.
Okay.
Going once, going twice on a P. Okay, good. Okay, Dick, how about reliability?
Okay. And there we are. Slide over. Yes. The first one is analytic method under 2B, which I scored it as a partial, and I think that's what we gave the first one.
Correct. Comments on that? Partial. Okay, Dick, how about validity?
The validity testing, I gave that also a partial because for the exact reasons that Brian issued, that they did sort of a global look with one of the strengths of NGENIX is that they can do chart pulls and do comparisons, but they didn't really, they used, when I saw the, and excuse me for doing this, but when they used the same argument in both proposals, it essentially told me that they didn't really look at a data set that was tuned to this particular problem, and it was an overall look at validity set and not a specific look, so I gave it a P, which I think is what we had done before.
We actually gave, I think, minimal for the...
Gave it an M, and all right.
What was minimal because it really wasn't validated for this measure?
For this particular data set. I agree,
right.
For this particular subpopulation. And I can live with that.
Okay. Any other comments on the validity for minimal? Okay, Dick, exclusions? We have minimal for the exclusions on Brian's presentation.
Correct. And I think that stays the same.
Comments?
Risk adjustment, I believe we gave it an N, and I think that stays the same.
Okay, let's just pause in between, Dick. You're on a roll, but and we appreciate that. So just give people a chance to comment if they'd like to, just real briefly. Any comment? Well, glad we paused there for comments. That was good. Okay, Dick, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, meaningful differences in performance. I think we gave this in
an N.
And it's in the NM range. I had originally scored in M, but I think I'll go with the groups from the first and stick with the N.
Comments? Comparability, we gave non-applicable for from Brian's presentation.
Correct. And I guess that's okay. I interestingly enough, because it was only a single source, you could, there's different ways of thinking about it, but I think it's fine. Disparities.
Wait. I'm sorry. Just in the interest of just making sure there are no comments around comparability. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going too fast. I'll slow down.
Okay. No other comments there. How about disparities?
Disparities. I think several people said we know they're there, and we're not sure whether this one can in fact detect them. I believe was it N or M?
We gave it an N.
Yeah, that's fine.
Comments around disparities? Okay, so pretty comparable with the 180 time frame. How about usability, Dick?
this one, I think we gave it an N. On the first one, but I would argue a little higher. I'd say it's in M because you will find differences. You're now looking at a smaller population. There is an opportunity that you could find meaningful and understandable and useful information out of this at some level, and I'd argue for an M.
We actually, I think, for usability, for distinctive, we gave it a partial.
Oh, okay, that's even better. I think that's fair.
Comments around partial?
Yep.
Consensus?
Yeah.
Okay. Harmonization, we gave this non-applicable.
Correct, because there are no others. And distinctive and additive, we gave it a
P.
And I think that's fine.
Comments around harmonization or added value? Okay, Reva, we're going to be done by... by 11:01 at this rate, but we're rolling now.
Three more measures.
Good.
Yeah, we got three more measures.
I'm kidding. Feasibility.
Yeah. First one is
data
generated from byproduct care process.
We gave that a complete.
That's correct, and that's true for this as well. Are they all generated? I'm sorry. Want me to stop?
Yeah. I think that these are. Let's just take them, the first two together, because we gave them both complete electronic.
Correct. Electronic, definitely C. Exclusions, we had the whole issue that we had that related back to the risk adjustment issue. And where did we look at?
We scored it complete as written.
That's because we're talking about additional data sources needed for the exclusions.
Yep.
That make it less feasible.
And
that isn't the case here.
Okay, and that's fine.
Comments around any of those exclusions? Okay, Dick, you're in the home stretch. Inaccuracies and errors, we gave it a minimal.
Yep, and that's fine.
Discussion there?
Here it's Brian. Here we might want to be a little more generous, just because it's a much more confined time frame, and I think the likelihood of a safety outcome being associated with the initial event, the surgery, is probably greater than the 180-day time frame.
And I'd actually concur with that because the reason we gave it minimal before was we weren't clearly comfortable that the diseases listed, the codes listed, were referenceable to the population that had the intervention. Here, I think you've got a narrower net. You'd still like to compare that against an incidence relative to the population at risk, but I would agree that we could probably do a little bit more. Brian, your suggestion is more of a partial?
Correct.
Okay.
Fine.
Comments around partial? Okay. So implementation. We gave that a P also for Brian's presentation.
We did, and the question in terms of its the cost to implement and the like. It's between P and C. That it's better again for the same arguments we just had with 4D. I'd be inclined to give this actually a C.
And the reason for complete versus partial?
Because it's all you can get the entire data set from closed claim that as written you can get the entire thing from closed claim data sets, making it feasible and relatively low cost to implement.
Comments around complete then. I think this is a little more standardized follow up than within a 30-day window. People are going to be seen as opposed to. Not being followed up more regularly over 180 days, so I can see that would be appropriate. Somebody may comment.
Yeah, this is Brian. I mean, part of it is sort of the use of this measure operationally. Was there evidence that data was missing when you did this? Were there issues about patient confidentiality? None of that, I don't think, was really tested. So to know how it would be feasible in real world practice. It's been tested against this internal database, but not prospectively in the real world. And for that, I would lobby more for a partial, not complete.
I guess, Brian, I'm just thinking this is trying to really get at how hard is it to operationalize it, and operationalizing a metric from closed claims, the methods for de-identification and execution of such measures are pretty well defined by people who do this. And so from an implementation standpoint, it's pretty straightforward, it seems to me. Whether your issues about whether it works, all those are separate, but I think this is just trying to get at, can you actually do this in a broad population, multiple types of provider organizations? I think you could.
Okay, so I think we have we can put text around that. The complete was the recommendation. I think if that's a relative consensus, we can stay with that and capture some of the conversations around that. Okay. All right, nice job, Dick, and thank you to you and Brian both for leading the discussions here. How about we move to the GI bleed? John, if you could take that and give us a kind of overview and then walk us through your recommendations.
Sure, absolutely. So this is, my bottom line in this is a very interesting and important measure, but there's some confusing issues, particularly around inclusion criteria. This is the steward of this is the HRQ, and this is stated to be inpatient deaths for esophageal hemorrhage. And again, they say see denominator definition, and that's where things get confusing. So in terms of overall, this is obviously a very, very resource-intensive episode of care. It is relatively low volume, although we see it a lot. But in terms of overall things, it's low volume, but it's very, very high intensity of care. And I think from an important standpoint, it's a patient population that has not been targeted for performance measures or quality improvement as much as it could be, which is really moderate to end-stage liver disease. Shall I stop there and see any questions or comments?
No, I think it's a great intro. Just any questions?
It clearly looks at mortality outcome, which is a very reasonable thing. I think it fits with both the national priority, the IOM, and consumer needs for identification.
Why don't you just keep going, John?
So for importance, for number one, 1A, high impact, again, it's very, very resource intensive in terms of the actual number of patients per year. It would